Hagman Report. Go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com for all the news information, background, articles. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can go to Hagman and Hagman.com. That's our show page. There you can get watch the show live right from our show page. And archived shows available via Hagman and Hagman.com. Up next is Mr. Stan Dale from StanDale.com, a good friend of the show. And I've got to tell you, Stan Dale is one of the most intelligent people I know and one of the most well-versed people I know in so many topics, whether it's geopolitics or whether it's politics or whether it's science, physics. He's just a wealth of knowledge, and we're so grateful that he joins us on a regular basis. Before we get to Stan, I want to mention that T.C. Joseph's books, the This Generation series of novels, they're flying off the shelves. I've got to tell you, he's created this very thrilling series of novels. T.C. Joseph actually takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. It's a fantastic series. He navigates through recent history and brings us right to the current event horizon. And reading his books, although they're fiction, it is like looking at current events. And the characters in the book provide a great read. Not only will you folks love these books, but they can be a great tool. And we've used them as well as a tool to awaken others, those people who shy away from nonfiction books. Kirkus Reviews, glowing reviews by Kirkus, as well as Blue Ink. Both reviewers saying, wow, this is fantastic. Get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Book 1 is Precipice, Book 2 is Pentecost, and Book 3, which is just recently out, is Penance. Fantastic series. That's T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com. I want to welcome Mr. Stan Dale to our program. Stan, thanks for holding, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, not a problem. It's been a good holiday season, Christmas season here so far, and thank you for that calendar you sent to Holly and I and the nice letter. You know, it's kind of good. We'll put that up. I like those pictures, actually. But, you know, some calendars are just dull and boring, but nice pictures on it, so thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, and we appreciate you so much, you and Holly, and everything you do. And I don't think it can be said enough. And sometimes it just sounds trite, but it's not. It's right from the heart. And so many people, and I've heard from so many people who have sent us emails. You know, anytime you miss a program or you're ill or you're under the weather, people are really genuinely worried about you. So we've got a lot of prayer warriors out there praying for you, and I'm glad you're with us tonight. So,
well, it is helping. Whatever this is, it has its moments. It's like some kind of a tear or something inside my, abdomen here. We think it's an adhesion, a post-operative adhesion that got torn when I went to see my chiropractor. He stretched and turned me a little bit too hard one way, and it may have torn it, but it's getting better now, and fortunately the pain med take care of all that. So thank you, all the people that are praying, appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah, it's rough. I mean, getting old is not for sissies, I'll tell you that. And not to imply that you're old, but as we all age, you know, I mean, things are a little bit sometimes tighten up a little bit.
Oh, I don't mind being old. Don't worry about that. Apologize. I know we all get to that at some point in time. The lucky ones, I guess. Hey,
there you go. What's the alternative? You know.
Yeah, let's don't go there.
Yeah, really. What's captured your attention, Stan?
Number of things. One of your listeners has been emailing me back and forth over this these symbols that we saw in the Arizona desert.
Yes.
You know, I think we mentioned that last week, and he said to me, look, he said, I don't have a computer and, you know, Google Earth or anything, so I did it on a flat map, he says, and I drew a line, this little arrow, like a landing strip or just a straight path or something carved in the middle of those symbols there in Arizona, and they point off to the kind of the northeast, and he said, I connected it to Berlin, And that swastika thing must be connected to it. So I investigated it, and I come to find out that, no, he should have had a computer and a Google Earth, because it didn't go to Berlin. That arrow pointed straight to something else south of there. And that's not a swastika. That's the left-handed swastika is in that symbol there. And that's like a Buddhist symbol for peace. It's a very old sign that predates the Nazis using the right-handed thing. So it was a peace symbol. And there was an arrow pointing off, you know, into the distance. And so I followed that around. I've got three pictures on the, well, actually four on the show. I'm just pages relate to that. Pictures five, four, five, six, seven. Anyway, the arrow points to a bay, a little bitty island in that bay in Madagascar. And the interesting thing about it is it's like a wedge. The whole island of Madagascar is like a wedge, and the little sub-island there is like a wedge as well. And if you click on image 7, you can see a close-up of the Madagascar and that little tiny island. And the reason that's cool is, I don't know if it has anything to do with peace particularly, but it certainly pinpointed where Solomon's Ophir gold mine, or gold source was. And they're just now discovering, as I talked about when I found the Garden of Eden and talked about the Ophir mines of Solomon, that, you know, it was part of how I discovered Eden. And it's all very dust, like fine particles of very fine gold that's washing down from, you know, granite-filled mountains in the northern part, mainly the northern part of Madagascar, into this bay area. And countries are finding out, mining companies are finding out, that Madagascar is the source of a tremendous amount of very wealthy, rich kind of gold. And there are thousands of Madagascan people that have their little, you know, panning dishes that they go into the rivers of Madagascar and pan for gold dust. Now, it's slowed up slightly because at the moment the gold prices are down, but they're expecting a huge boom, and French and all kinds of people, Chinese, are all over there trying to get gold off the island of Madagascar. But it's interesting because I did find out originally when I was researching the Garden of Eden and the fact that Ophir had something to do with it in Solomon's gold mines. I found that Ophir means kind of like a wedge. And the island of Madagascar is like a wedge that fit between Africa and India before India was shoved up in to make the Himalayas by that large asteroid impact I talked about. So it's the wedge, and this is definitely the most prolific, the highest value mines or source of gold that Solomon had. And so that little line coming off of Arizona's, you know, glyphs that I saw there that guy pointed out to me go right to that place and through it, north island of, or north part of Madagascar, and then to the little island offshore. In fact, if you look in Google Earth real close, you can see terraced areas, which were dug out, which are underwater now, along that little island there in the bay. Anyway, just a, you know, a point to reinforce what I've been telling people about Solomon's lost gold mines. This one here is the one that many times in prophecy, or in biblical accounts, not so much prophecy, they talk about the dust and the rocks, the pebbles of Ophir. And this is it. There's no doubt about it. This was one of King Solomon's greatest sources of wonderful gold. And it used to be connected, as I say, to Africa, at Tanzania, where, of course, the Garden of Eden is, and also to Karnataka on the west coast of India. And if you look at both these areas, on the Tanzanian coast and on the western coast of India at Karnataka, you'll find that both of them are prolific in gold mines, but not as much as the wedge itself, which separated apart when the continent split in the time of Peleg. Anyway, that's just...
Interesting.
I've been having fun with it, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what all the other symbols mean on the Arizona thing, but, you know, you can look at the images I've got there, and you can see the latitude and longitude of it, and go have a look yourself and try to figure it out. Your listener and I that wrote this in, we've been trying to figure it out, and so far I haven't got any other great pieces of wisdom other than this line. That's that.
Wow. Well, I don't know. That's kind of, I mean, that's significant, I think, given the distance alone, given the, well,
Yeah. Yeah, I measured it three times. If you look at image three, click it up, you'll see I had to break it up into three images because it reached halfway around the planet.
Right.
I don't know if that's the antipodal point of the images there in Arizona, but the little red line I show in the three images takes you across the North Atlantic and through North Africa and then down to Madagascar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm following that image, and folks, you can look on our YouTube channel. Eric was showing that as well. I was just following that. Wow, that's wow. Okay, all right. Wow.
Now, image 10 and 11. This is something that someone sent to me today. Again, a listener, and pointed out that this woman had. She's a Christian lady. She makes let me just pause this here. Yeah, she makes videos with news that relates to Christian prophecy or world events that tell us where we are in the timeline. Rev Michelle Hopkins Mann. Now, I don't normally use her stuff, but she's one of the only sources I could find that still had this video available. When I go to get the video I'm going to tell you about, in most places it's no longer there, or you can't view it on your computer or that kind of stuff. It's blocked for some reason.
Right.
And I know what the reason is. She tells about this, she calls it diabolical treachery behind the strange trumpeting sounds heard all over the world. Now, I tell you what she has pulled up on that video is the sounds that we've heard, this moaning, trumpeting sounds. It is made by a device that, that is kind of got a dish at the bottom, and it's round, and it's a water harp, or a device that you play with a violin wand, or with the little soft balls that you hit tympanic, cymbals and stuff with. But it's got straight rods all around the edge of it pointing up at different lengths so that you have different tones from them. But when you hear this guy play this in the video, you can hear the portion she's got there. You can hear the same sounds we've been hearing over Russia and, various places that we're trying to figure out what the trumpeting was from. I thought it might have been from volcanoes. But this is coming from that kind of device. I mean, you can hear the sounds of what this guy is playing. It's in about 2.5 minutes into the 9-minute video. And you can, see pictures of this young fellow playing this water harp. It's a water harp, water bass instrument. There's a number of names they give it, but they use it in sci-fi movies to give these, kind of weird sounds like that. Pardon my weird sound making, it's off, but anyway, you'll hear the actual thing there. and she says, now she goes on to tie in things that I wrote about in the Cosmic Conspiracy, even though she doesn't say that. She says, as I told you people back in 2011, it's part of the New World Order and to trick us into believing, aliens have come to help us, all that kind of stuff. But in 1978, I wrote about all this and telling people the alien invasion is going to be the great deception and it's going to unify the world into one world government. Well, in her video, she goes on to say, well, okay, look, here's the video of Reagan saying we need a new world order and we need the Pope saying it and various leaders of government saying it. And she missed one. I think Bob Hawke, former Prime Minister of Australia, had said that too, but back in the time of President Reagan. But there, all the links she puts together are, they're saying, wouldn't it be nice if we had an off-world alien source come to the planet that was friendly and, force the nations into agreeing and getting along with this common technological threat, even though it may be allegedly peaceful, to form a new world government under a leader appointed by these quote-unquote aliens. And even in today's news, there was an article that Holly put a link to up on our website about the source of off-world alien contact things that they're trying to search for. And you'll see that up in image 12, a link to that article. I used the one that was to the New York Post. Post, because the one that she had to the Australian link on this article about ET phone home, you couldn't play the video or do anything because it was blocked in our region for some reason. I don't know what they're doing to the internet, but I've noticed a number of the videos that I want to access. I get this little black screen and a little white message. You can't access this. Oh, hey, on that note, you know, you're Twitter, right?
Yes.
I thought I would explore Twitter from my computer because I don't even have a smartphone. And three or four days ago, I applied to sign up on Twitter from the computer. They let you do that. Well, I get this little message that says, you know, you can't open your account. There's no phone number. So I check in with their help department, and I email them and say, look, I can't seem to get through this. How do I sign up for Twitter? And I get this nasty message back from Twitter, and they say, you have been banned for life. You can never, use Twitter for all your bad postings. I don't even have a phone. I haven't even done anything. So I don't know whether they figured, because we supported Trump on our website, that we can't be on Twitter. Well, I don't know. But
wow.
I thought, wow, that's interesting. Oh,
well,
dear.
That'll teach you, Stan. I mean, doggone it. That'll teach you. There's been a lot of weirdness with social networking sites, but even more so with websites in general. I've been getting the same message you have as well. A few times I couldn't even access our own videos through the back end. Okay. Now, that's not common, nor is it prolonged, but it just the fact that it hadn't happened until maybe the last 45 days, within the last 45 days, or we'll say since maybe beginning of November. But
we lost control of the internet.
Yeah, I suspect that's. I mean, how else do you explain this? And then, of course, the social networking, which is just totally saturated with this algorithmic, this metric that really wants to silence those of us in the alternative or independent media. So, I don't know. I mean, it's frustrating, Stan. It really is. But doggone it, that'll show you. You try to sign up for Twitter. Your name's Stan Deo. Shame on you. We'll teach you.
I know. Terrible boy. well, we'll weather it, I'm sure. Earthquakes.
Yes.
Images 8 and 9. Now, we've been following, image 9, and we'll start there. That's last 7 days' earthquakes on the... Yep. Got the bad link on that for some reason or other. Let me just
It takes it back to the Post, right? Your link.
Yeah, or to the New York Post. Yeah, let me we'll click on the type underneath. That'll take you to the right image.
All right.
You can see that in the last week we've had a couple more Richter, 5-ish type earthquakes up along the Juan de Fuca, along the line that we've been watching, just slightly above it to a straight line connecting, the western, northwestern side of the plate down to the foot that goes into Eureka, California. I don't know. I look back for 30 days and looked at the earthquake patterns, and where you see the little kind of foot, like an elephant's hoof or horse's hoof down there, that's on the Mendocino Ridge. There's no earthquake showing in there except at the tip of it for the last 7 days, but for the last 30 days, there was a whole cluster of around that area where, about 2 weeks ago I was looking at and we suddenly had an earthquake there, and I was talking about it in the show. That tells me that the southern part and the western part of the Juan de Fuca plate is starting to release some significant quakes. We may be about to see some action there. And that does connect to the Mendocino Ridge all the way down to the San Andreas Fault and to a number of parallel faults in California on the west side of the breadbasket there in California there. And it goes all the way down into the Baja. And there's the smaller quakes. I mean, they're like threes and twos and stuff like that. I had them print all of those out. But it just kind of tells me to watch that area.
This might be the actual Cal exit when it comes right down to it. You know what I mean? the secession movement of California. This was, I mean, you look at these quakes.
I understand. And I think Holly agrees with me on this. There's probably a lot of those voters over there we could do without. But anyway.
Wow.
They'll have time to get out of the way. It'll break up, I'm sure, when it starts to. It'll break up into pieces rather than the whole West Coast just disappearing like in a 2012 movie. But
thanks for mentioning that. I had somebody email me. Was it last week or the week? I think it was right after your appearance, asking if something did happen on the West Coast, and this did apply for the West Coast, would it be, for example, like right now, sudden and bang, it's underwater or gone or broken up, or would it be kind of a incremental, regardless of the Richter, the strength of the earthquake, would it happen right away, or would it gradually? Would it happen over time? In other words, what you said, they might have time to get out of the way. I guess that's the question.
Okay. Yeah, they'll have time to get out of the way. Some of them will. Those that don't pay attention when you have a Richter 9 earthquake or better in the Juan de Fuca Plate region, the Oregon coast and the Washington coast will be subject to a significant tsunami that will go up some of the river beds up, way up inland. And you won't have a lot of time to get out of the way when that occurs. Certainly you'll know it's occurred because it'll shake the tar out of the coastline and all the way down into the California coastline as well. And some kind of lateral tsunamis may sweep down through San Francisco and glance off of San Diego down that area. But as I said, it will break up into areas, I think, slowly. So people will be trying to get out of the way. And I think we'll also see the chain of volcanoes in the Cascadia subduction zone start to go off one by one all the way down into to join the Popocatépetl in Mexico. And these will be over a period of time. And I think people will be trying to escape across the Rockies then any way they can to get to sound ground, perhaps in Idaho and Colorado and Wyoming, stuff like that. That's, of course, if Yellowstone doesn't get busy at the same time, which is a distinct possibility. Yeah.
Wow. All right. What about there's a volcano in Mexico, I believe, that's kind of acting up right now. Is that right?
I don't know the name of that one. I can't do it. Holly, was it Popocatépetl? It was acting up in Mexico or another?
Colima.
Colima. Sorry, yeah. That's the one. Just ask the news lady over here. She knows all, sees all, tells all.
God bless all of them.
Dear.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. And this is something I'm looking at this, and I looked at are we seeing a general rise in earthquakes? I guess that's an important question that I wanted to ask. Is the earth getting busier now than it was, we'll say, this time last year or the year before?
I think so, and I think it's in the larger quakes, six and above. I haven't got the actual percentage increase, but it does seem to me that I have been seeing that.
I'm glad you said that, because it seems like I've been hearing more and more, and of course, sometimes I'm thinking perhaps it's because I'm focused on your site, your earthquake reporting, which is second to none, folks. Standale.com. Earthquake reporting it's right there, and of course, all physical earthly anomalies or events, that's the place to go. And of course, the antidote or the safeguard for that is Dare to Prepare in Prudent Places USA. But having said that, it just seemed like. My perception is that the earth changes, volcanoes, and earthquakes seem to be on the rise. That's just my perception. But
as I say, I've had the same perception. I've been trying, as for several months now, then looking at different data feeds from NASA and JPL and the European Space Agency and a number of them to try to find, another method of anticipating or estimating earthquakes along coastal lines all over the planet, to do like it used to do before we lost the naval feed. And, I what I really need is something that shows the daily change in electric field charge over the coastlines of the planet. And I don't know if any of our listeners out there, you know where we could find something like that, but it'd certainly be nice if I could. But just a straight sea surface temperature anomaly, high res does not cut it. It needs to have the electrical field in it as well. And that was, of course, what the Navy did without telling anybody. And once the figure was out, well, they quickly made it not available to the public.
Right, they cut access. So if any listener knows of a new website, don't say over the air. Just email Stan Dale.com. All right, as we enter into the break here, Stan, it's when we get back on the other side, I got to ask you too. You had referenced this, and then we kind of took a left turn here. Got to ask you about ET phoning home. This, according to the New York Post, if you want to go there,
right?
Reference it again. I find it interesting for on a number of levels, because this does play right into prophecy. It goes back to what you were saying earlier, but to explore a little bit further, a little bit deeper, perhaps there. I don't know, maybe disclosure is closer, or this setup is closer than we might want to believe. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report on this, well, between Christmas and New Year's. My goodness, how time flies. Just a few days left of 2017. HagmanReport.com, that's for news, information, analysis. Or I guess it's Stan Dale. Stay right where we are. I can be right back. To this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest, Stan Dale, standale.com, the real Indiana Jones, and Holly Dale, his beautiful wife, great person, author of the Dare to Prepare different editions. And what a great resource for all of us to have. And of course, Prophetic Perils as well, and everything Stan has written, and Stan's DVDs. Man, tremendous sources of information. I wonder how many people got that in their stocking this year, or under the tree, you know. Before we get back to Stan, I want to mention Water by Cindy. You know, people everywhere are discovering the changing power of Kangen water. Now, if you've never heard of this, folks, go to waterbycindy.com. That's waterbycindy.com. There you will realize, you will see that there's actually 7 different types of water. There's the water for strong Kangen water. There's Kangen water, which is for drinking, and then there's clean water, which is for drinking. Different pHs. And there's water that, by adjusting the pH, is for beauty. It acts as like an astringent. And then there's this more acidic water, which is not for drinking. It has other purposes. There's so many types. Using their Kangen water system, which, by the way, is used in hospitals, many hospitals, in Japan. Actually, and there's a YouTube video you can click on to take a look. But water is the most important substance in the world, and drinking plenty of it on a daily basis is vital to our health. Water carries nutrients to our cells. It helps with digestion, flushes out toxins, you name it. You need water. I mean, heck, we're 75% water. Just go ahead and poke Eric in the stomach. You'll hear it slosh around. Yeah, but the bottom line is this. If you want to take charge of your water, as well you should, go to waterbycindy.com. That's waterbycindy.com. There you will learn things about water you never thought you'd... I mean, you'll learn things about water that you need to know. And while you're there, you have to check out the Kangen water system. We have one here at the Hagman household, and we love it. It really has made a huge difference in the way we use water, how we use it. We don't rely on bottled water anymore. And as a matter of fact, we've seen just a remarkable difference. So waterbycindy.com, waterbycindy.com. One more time, waterbycindy.com. Stan, thanks for holding. And, I know you had referenced this briefly, kind of in glancing, but I'm going to go back and ask you about this. ET phone home? Huh? New York Post. You know, I remember the... Well, Stan, I think you remember the program you put on your computer that would run when the computer was just kind of hanging out, and it would decode the signals. What was it? SETI, I think it was.
Yeah.
The SETI program.
Oh, they had several million PCs around the world connected in. You know, when it wasn't being used by the owners, they would network, and it allowed them to have like a planet-wide type receiver looking for signal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is that kind of what this is, or what they found? They found this. Is that kind of what this is? Or they found a radio thing?
Well,
it
is a. A method of detecting signals from deep space, but they're using Arecibo and Green Bank's receivers, which are big single location type receivers. What is interesting about the signals they've determined here is since about 2007, there have been about 17 hits from this one spot 3 billion light years away. That's long distance, right? And the fact that they all come from the same location has made people think, you know, in the beginning, your scientists, that, okay, these are leftover pulses from a dead pulsar that had some remnant bursts come from it, you know, in all directions. The interesting point about it is that the amount of energy that's in that signal, every time they've picked it up, has been like equal to all the energy our sun puts out in a day. And they get it in a tenth of a second in these little bursts that come from out in that area there in space. Now, they have the reason it made the news today and yesterday was that the scientists have finally come to a consensus in that 6 of the 17 cases, they can make an argument and prove that it was not from some natural phenomenon over there. They are positive it must be an intelligent burst in our direction from way out there somewhere. How they really determine that, I don't know, but that's what they finally agreed on. And you know how scientists are. They can all change their opinion tomorrow when new facts are brought into play. But that's where it stands at the moment. And I think as far as alien contact, we're going to see it a lot closer to home. As I was saying, with those strange sounds and with all the alien movies and the stuff that we've seen over the last 40 years, they're getting more intense and more frequent now, which in the world situation with the Middle East and with the world in turmoil economically and nuclear war about to break loose, people are ready for, you know, some solution that doesn't require everybody dying. And so I think that we'll see more of this UFO-type reporting in the mainstream news shortly. They are saying that there have been some bright flash or fireball sightings in the last week over the United States. And some of them, of course, I think were these Chinese lanterns that people put up just for fun, even though they're illegal in most states, but because they collapse to the ground and start fires. But they do make an interesting UFO in the sky, but not the kind that I'm talking about. These reports are like brilliant flashes that don't go anywhere. They're a bright, you know, ball, and they float and go and disappear. So we'll look for more of this kind of stuff. I'm sure that it'll be there as we get closer to the moment when people will cry out to stop the war. And on that vein, I mean, look, on the show images page there, I show an image 15, 14 to start with, Obama. He's threatening now that he's going to reveal what he's going to do to Russia to punish them for interfering in the American elections, which, according to him and the Democrats, that's what cost Hillary the election, was the Russian WikiLeaks and tapping into the Democratic National Committee's computers. That's what caused them to lose. So what is he going to do to the Russians in the next 23, 24 days before Trump is inaugurated? This is a worry, because he may irritate the heck out of Putin, and there may be a clash starting in the Middle East. It may start here, with a bombing here in this country by the Russians, allegedly, or whatever. But Obama is, he's going to be a thorn in Trump's administration's side until Obama is no more. He's already said he's not going to sit quietly in the wings. He's going to, be a thorn to trying to, in the last 24 days, push the two-state Palestinian solution, you know, in Israel. And this is causing problems already. And the UN abstinence vote that the United States did under Obama's direction, this has precipitated reactions in Israel and all of its neighbors, so that we may see, you know, now the bombs dropping somewhere. I suspect that Israel will come out on top if there's any nuclear exchanges over there. They have at least 300 nuclear warheads that are known, and the type of them varies, and some of them I think are going to be a surprise to everybody. But when Israel strikes out to defend itself, and it'll have to do this shortly, the result will be so devastating to their enemies that the world will clamor for a peace treaty. Let's calm down, guys, because this could go global and we could all die. That's what the globalists would want you to believe. And I think that's when we're going to see the introduction of the alien elder brother space people solution. This great deception.
It just, you know, I don't know, Stan, it just feels like everything is right on, like we're right there at that event horizon. It with all of this, all of these prophetic elements taking place, whether it's the signs in the sky or signs on the earth, and then you've got the geopolitical nightmare that Obama has created. I mean, wow, it just feels like we're right there. But I just, the hubris of Obama, Kerry, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, no words. I mean, there are just no words.
Yeah, I know. It's we read about it in prophecy. We've read about it for generations, and you kind of get this kind of general picture of, okay, in the end times, such and such will happen. That's it. Blah blah blah. But when you see it in the news, you have to be aware that these are fulfilling prophecy. If you're not looking for that, you're probably going to miss it. And Christians who are aware are doing that. And, you know, your jaw drops when you see so many of these things happening so close together. I mean, I've been talking about this. You've been talking about it for years, decades. And bang, 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 in a matter of weeks and months, it all starts to fall into place. Look, in Prophetic Perils, what Holly wrote, you know, she has listed so many of these things that are in the news now. You can't put all these things together like she's done and not realize that we're there. I don't know why more pulpits aren't preaching this, you know, and saying, look, I mean, that's why Holly put that together, was because pastors need to know this, and they need to share it with their congregations. And if they don't, then the congregations need to share it with their pastors. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And folks, we're talking about Prophetic Perils, and it's available at standale.com. It's exactly what we need, the information that we need to know right now for today. It's an encyclopedic work by Holly Deo. It's fantastic. A lot of work went into that. So you're exactly right. And this watered down Christianity we're getting, or the information we're not getting from the church,
it's a social gospel, you know.
Yes, yeah, it is.
So many of these established mainline churches are on, you know, the tax-free the status with the government. They don't want to ruin that by saying anything that will irritate the government. Hopefully Trump will release them from that, so they can tell what they need to tell to their congregations without fear of losing their tax-exempt status.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we've had people ask us, are you a 501c3 corporation? And my response always has been, hell no. No. We're not going to be beholden to a set of standards that we would have no intention to keep to anyway. So the 501c3 is status to me is, folks, if you don't know the history, the Johnson situation, how it came to be, you got to understand how that came to be. Johnson's when Lyndon Baines Johnson was running for re-election, Senate re-election, and about to lose. But anyway, yeah, this is the lack of knowledge is going to be cause for a lot of people not to see the truth. And
people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, you mentioned the UN resolution. We've been talking about this now for the last 2 days because I think this is one of the most underreported stories, or at least misunderstood. And I'll just share this with you, Stan, just for your commentary and your thoughts. I'm amazed at, first of all, the two things. Number one, the anti-Semitism and the hatred. Man, we talked about this last night. And the emails that we got saying, how dare you support a Zionist state and all this, Israel should pay their, whatever. I mean, the emails were all over the place, but they weren't good. And that's number one. And number two, the fact that, Obama has really thrown, well, prophetically, Obama has really done the job I don't think any other guy could have done, and really threw Israel under the bus through this. And I don't know if, you know what, Stan, I don't know, is Trump inheriting a prophetic calamity already? I mean, is that, you know?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's no secret. Obama has even said it. He's doing everything he can to cause him to stumble.
Yeah.
We express things privately here, Holly and I, about that guy that, I'm sure you know the thoughts yourself, but...
yeah, we sometimes get a little bit too vocal.
Yeah,
he is. And it's... you know what? The comments on the message boards, what I was going to get to. So some of the political message boards, whether it's Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal or progressive, however you want to do it, either way. This delusion about the Palestinians and about this Jewish apartheid or genocide against the Palestinians. It just, the lies that are perpetuated, and I don't know. I'm just astounded by the lack of knowledge of history most people have. Stan, I really am.
Yeah, I know. And you and I've, our age group, we've lived through a lot of history, so it's, I guess, a little bit easier for us because we remember reading about it and going through it. But the prince, like Egypt, was the one that actually set up the Palestinian state, was instrumental in causing that to be the Gaza Strip, and with a plan to destroy Israel. It was never to be a joint solution. It was to totally destroy Israel and take over the land as, Palestinian. Yep. And Egypt was behind that.
People don't understand it. And then if you, look at what Carter did what Carter did. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, my goodness. And really, even as bad as Carter was, he doesn't rise even close to the level as Obama and Kerry, what they've done to Israel, the overt poke in the eye. And, we're here, brother. I mean, we are at the event horizon, in my view. So,
Hey, listen, I don't know, we don't know who listens to the show. It's all over the world that you've got listeners, but I am trying to reach Elon Musk. I want to propose a couple of things that people want to see happen. One of them is access to free electrical energy from the atmosphere, but I need a development team and some engineers to help me do that. Now, Elon Musk, in my opinion, is probably the best choice. He's got the mindset that I think we need to get some of these new technological things put forward. And if Trump does get to take office and his administration gets to do what he's promised, then we're going to want to develop some of these technologies now, keep them in the United States, and share them, of course, by patents and contracts with other countries. But I can't seem to get through, the phalanx of defenders against reaching Elon Musk, which I understand because he's a lot of people trying to talk to him. But he's got such a collection of young, brilliant engineers. I would love to tell him these things and say, look, here's what we need to do. Here's the circuits we need to develop. Oh, and here's how we get your suborbital craft up into orbit a lot cheaper. And, energy-wise, whatever, so you can develop what you want to for the Mars project. I mean, we'll probably never make it to Mars anyway, but because we know things are about to fall apart. But the free energy thing needs to have serious, attention here. And, I've tried, I've been put in the hold queue, I've been put into computer. touch yet. Well, anyway, if any of your listeners have connections, that'd be nice.
And we'll toss this out to the listeners. Elon Musk contacts, or, you know, the Sandeo. We need to get Sandeo and Elon Musk, or at least his a solid rep from the Musk team together. This is not a drill, folks. So, and Stan, I've got, actually, since you mentioned it last time, I do have about 2 degrees of separation here that I might be able, well, we'll talk off air, but I was told something, and in fact, it happened out of the blue. It wasn't even part of the conversation, and so, but it relates to this. So it is a God thing. So I think perhaps that it might come, but don't, folks, don't stop. If you have that connection, certainly contact Stan Dale and set him up. So, okay. Wow.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
We got about just a few more minutes left of the program. Anything else, Stan, that is on your heart, on your mind? Here, this is the last program that I'm not going to talk to you until next year. So I've decided that, or at least not on air, I should say.
Yeah, no, we'll do it off air. And on that contact business, I did have one contact to Elon Musk. Probably two steps removed, just like you're saying, down in South Africa. And they've kind of lost contact with him as well because of the different, interference that's run for him. As I say, I understand that. But I was watching, with Holly, we were watching these Mysteries of the Museum show here over the weekend. And I love that show. It's got some really interesting discoveries. And they showed how JPL formed in the rockets and, the basis for stuff that NASA eventually used to, do 130-some-odd space missions with. And Von Braun did his share of adding to their designs. But anyway, I saw how all that happened, at JPL, how three guys that were interested in rocketry, convinced the university to let them have the money to start building rockets to try to get them in the air. Because in those days, before World War II, getting rockets in the air was, that was dreamers, that was science fiction. But these guys proved it. But they had backing. And, that's what triggered me, to want to say this on your show, is to look, we need to have backing. I can't do it all myself. Now I'm getting, old. I don't have the funding I need to get the engineers here in Colorado. But so I'm kind of throwing it out there saying, look, guys, I'm not trying to be another Henry Ford. I want to work with young engineers, and let's develop this stuff. Even if we have to do it without the Elon Musks of the world, it's time to do it. Energy is the most important thing next to God himself, that we have to address now. Energy makes everything work, even the universe, believe it or not. But,
And I'll tell you something. I would I would put all my marbles in your basket, seriously, because of your knowledge and just my knowledge of what you know, or what I know that you know that I don't know. So, I mean, yeah, I'd... Wow. Okay. Yeah,
well, to get this to work, this energy, you need to explain where the energy comes from. That, in fact, a lot of it's based on what Dr. T. Henry Murray developed at the in Utah. What, about 1925 to 1945, he was really doing it, and finally filed a patent for his device to take electricity out of the atmosphere. Now, he didn't know where it was coming from. He hung an antenna up, and when he filed the patent office saw the working model and said, okay, well, where's the energy coming from? He said, well, I can't tell you because I don't know. It's just there. And they said, well, since you can't tell where it's coming from, we're not granting you a patent. And I found the patent office pretty loose-lipped about what I filed myself along the same lines as a general application to say where the energy came from and how we need to tap it with a basic, illustrating circuit. And they said, no, we can't grant you a patent. It doesn't work. It won't work. But I know where the energy came from now, and I know why all the things that Dr. Murray said occurred when he was tapping the energy, how he could develop the field and he could hear people talking 5 miles away. When he had established the field, he could tap into it and find acoustic vibrations 5 miles away. But at the same time, he was getting 10,000 watts of power continuously day and night. Well, it was 8,000 at night, 10,000 during the day. But anyway, it was from the solar wind impingement. And there's a simple little trick, and everywhere was looking in his box of tricks, you know, how does that box work? You know, why does he stroke two little iron bars with a magnet to do something or other and make it kickstart and start pulling all this energy out of the atmosphere? They were all looking in the wrong place, and I found the place. You know, what he knew and what I know, but I found where it came from, which is the important thing we need to develop, you know, and keep it here in the United States.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay.
Life has to go on, Doug. You know, we don't stop because you think the rapture may be around the corner or the tribulation is tomorrow. You keep doing good things. You keep trying to move forward for your country and your people. And, okay, if it gets interrupted by the tribulation and by the great deception, it happens. But we don't want to sit on a hill and do nothing. We need to try to progress. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point.
And it says endure. That's all he says. You've got to endure.
Yep. Anything less than that. I mean, if we stop doing anything, or if we spend too much time focusing on what the negative that's ahead, you know, we're not doing anyone a service. So, and I thank you for reminding us, you know, of that. And we have to keep that in the forefront, because we do have the divine protection, I believe, and we do know how the story's going to end. So we shouldn't obsess over it, but we should be aware of it. Not just not obsess. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my parting comment on that stuff there. You know, mm-hmm. I do encourage people to go over and look at our website where Holly does the news, you know, kind of condenses the news of the important things for people to read. And, yes. You know, we can't cover all the things she's got on there in one show for sure, but just go to standale.com and scroll down, see the pictures, the news articles, and her comments, and I think that most of our listeners will agree with what she says and see the value of what she's put on the website.
We check your website every single day. And that's right, standale.com. Stan, we're at the end of the program. Just want to say God bless you. I hope you had a great, wonderful Christmas, you and Holly and the kids, meaning your four-legged kids. And, of course, well, and your family as well. And we wish you the best in best of this new year. Just want to say God
bless you.
Thank you,
Doug. Have a good new year yourself. We'll talk to you on the other side.
All right. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That was Stan Dale, folks. It's regular Tuesday, Stan Dale. My goodness. Wow. The knowledge he's got, right? Folks, tomorrow's program and the rest of the week is just going to be a fantastic week. I hope everyone does keep tuning in. And I want to thank J.D., our videographer, creative evangelist, J.D. from Neptune Diaries, and also, of course, our family, and John Robertson, the producer. I want to thank you, John. Both of these guys get up at like 4 in the morning and just work until late at night. Eric the Tech, thank you so very much for all you do. And, of course, Todd from Global Star Radio, thank you. BTR, the fine folks there at BTR, thank you for carrying this program. And thank you, each and every one of you listening. And I just want to say this. Things are going to be getting rough and bumpy. You heard if you somehow missed the last half hour of Paul Begley's segment, take a listen, please. We're in the fight of our lives. We really are, in terms of being able to continue to bring you the news. If you believe in us, we ask, and I ask you from the bottom of my heart, please support us. We need it now more than ever before. If you believe in us, please support us. Help us. Help us pay the bills. Help us keep the lights on. If you can't do that, please pray for us. And tell others about the show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Raise our visibility among the channels out there, because it's going to get rough. It's already rough. It's going to get a lot rougher. We're going to have I did a video about the mall chaos earlier. It's on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel. It's also on HagmanReport.com. It's only a 6-minute video. Check that out. I did that earlier today. from my office. Until tomorrow, may God bless, and may God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe, and folks, saddle for battle.